welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour series, we'll continue stories that we've been following. Later on, it's Adventures by Morse. But right now, part two of three of the world's greatest novels adaptation of a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court by Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain. An NBC episode from June 11th, 1948.
Last week, we heard how a certain Yankee from Hartford, Connecticut, was knocked unconscious in a fight and awoke to find himself at King Arthur's court. The Connecticut Yankee himself tells the story of the adventures of a 19th century American in 6th century England.
Well, sir, it was quite a surprise to find myself at King Arthur's court. But, like a Yankee, I set about making the best of it. By predicting an eclipse of the sun, which was considered a miracle, I became King Arthur's right-hand man, the most powerful official in the kingdom. In fact, the people everywhere gave me the title of the boss. When I looked around the country, I couldn't understand why they called it Merry England. For the people were mostly slaves to ignorance, tradition, and superstition. Made my Yankee blood boil to see good, simple-hearted folks bow down to every half-wit noble, and I felt like leading a revolution. But we Yankees are practical, too, and I knew I couldn't change things too fast. So, with my loyal assistant, Clarence, to help me, I began to establish schools and factories and newspapers, along with my own military and naval academies. We also strung secret telephone and telegraph wires about the country. After a few years, I had a group of 6th century experts who were learning the wonders of science and democracy. I would have been glad to take in the nobles and the knights with me, but they were too busy crusading and justing and riding around the countryside fighting monsters and dragons. However, I didn't ignore the knights altogether, for I had a scheme to make them useful. So I called them into a meeting one day. Very well, gentlemen. The meeting will come to order. I beg your pardon, good sirs, but what are you gabbing about? I mean, prithee, what discusseth ye?
Hast thou heard, sir boss? In next tournament, they quoteth odds of 3-1 on Sir Sagramore le Desirous.
Say, those are pretty long odds. Ain't he up against Sir Percival?
Oh, in sooth, 'tis so. And he shall find it woundily hard to overthrow Sir Percival, I trow.
Oh, I'm with you there, neighbor. Sir Percival's as hot as a pistol.
Hot as a pistol? I wit ye not, fair sir.
Never mind. Let's get down to business. Now, you fellows are all knight-errants, aren't you?
Aye, it is our honor thus to serve the cause of chivalry.
And you roam the highways and byways of the far ends of the kingdom, don't you?
Oh, that is our mission, fair sir. To right wrong where'er we find it.
Good. Well, I have here a special decoration for each of you to wear. Now, just look at this.
Why, 'tis lettered all in gilt.
Oh, 'tis more splendid and radiant than the facing of the bravest shield.
I'm going to give one of these to each of you in recognition of your many deeds of valor. I pledge ye only to wear it wherever you go.
Oh, who indeed would part with such a decoration?
All right. Now, here's yours, Sir Lecote Mailtail. See, it spells out Persimmon Soap, patronized by the elect. When you put this sandwich sign on, this emblem on, it'll spell that out to all the world, both fore and aft.
Oh, thank thee, Sir Boss. Persimmon Soap, patronized by the elect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, surely 'tis a noble banner.
Oh, I'll say it is. Now, I also want you to take a few bars of persimmon soap about the kingdom on your travels. We're introducing it at a special cut-rate price. Do you think you can sell these bars of soap?
I vow it, fair sir, upon my sword. If any wish not to buy, I shall challenge them to adjust.
That's the spirit. And I'll tell you what. If you conquer any other knights, you may send them forth to do thy bidding. So they, too, shall sell persimmon soap. Why, you'll be a regular sales manager.
A sales manager? Oh, truly, 'tis a proud title, and I shall do my best to warrant it.
Now, Sir Lamorack, here is your sign. Use Peterson's prophylactic toothbrush, and here's your sample kit.
I wit not what it means, a prophylactic toothbrush, but I shall sell them if e'er Sir Lecote can sell persimmon soap.
Oh, I'm sure you will, Sir Lamorack. You will have a chance to take an intensified course in sales instruction before you leave. Sir Osace of Sirlace, I have here for you a sign proclaiming Majestic Brand Stove Polish.
Stove polish? And what strange wonder may it be?
Of course, there aren't any stoves yet, but you can whip up a little interest in the idea until the stoves come along from the factory. Mm. Our office will give you all the necessary information.
Tis a strange quest, sir, boss, but I shall do aught that I can.
That's the spirit. Remember, each of you represents the best brand in his line, because there aren't any other brands. Now, I swear all of you to ride diligently and to present your wares to every prospect.
We do so swear, sir, boss.
Just when everything was going good, the king insisted on giving me the honor of going on a knightly mission. He appointed me the protector of the Demoiselle Alizande la Cartelloise. I called her Sandy for short. Sandy claimed she'd escaped from a castle where a flock of princesses were being held prisoner by three giant ogres, and it was up to me to rescue them. So I found myself dolled up in a suit of armor, riding over the countryside. Well, sir, it was worse than wearing a dress suit, I'm telling you. When the sun beat down on that tinware, I felt like a chicken in an oven. So I was glad enough to pause my little stream, take off my helmet, and dip a few buckets of cold water down the back of my neck. Oh, Sandy, this is more like it, resting here in the shade. Hand me my pipe there, will you?
Thy pipe? I wit not the name of pipe.
There, that's it, that curved stemmed object.
Oh, aye.
Thank you.
What wonders dost thou do with this?
Why, I smoke, Sandy. Of course, I haven't any proper tobacco. Just some dried willow bark, but it's better than nothing. Let me see, I think I brought some matches along. Yes, here they are.
Matches, fair sir? Oh, it is a strange sounding name. Oh, those little sticks.
Yes, I take one of these little sticks, I light it, light my pipe, and puff away. Sandy, you know... Sandy, where are you? Hey, where are you? I command to know.
Verily, your worship, I am here.
Oh, Sandy, come down out of that tree. I won't harm you. Come now, Sandy. This tobacco's not so bad as all that. It won't hurt you.
But to breathe fire, sir, surely it is the devil doing.
Oh, come now. I'm only smoking my pipe. Come on back. I promise you that you won't be harmed.
I trust thou promise. But it's a dreadful and wondrous thing. Thou must concede.
All right, I'll concede it.
Oh, such a strange wonder. I would have deemed thou had changed thyself into a dragon.
Oh, you people have heard too many fairy tales. You're ready to believe anything. But, Sandy, what's the matter now?
Oh, look, my lord. Defend thyself. Peril of life is toward.
Peril of life?
On yonder hill. Seest thou not the knights approaching?
Yeah, they are riding this way. Half a dozen of them. What do you suppose they want?
Oh, to horse, sir, boss. Defend thyself ere they kill thee.
Kill me?
Aye.
Hey, wait a minute. Aren't they going to challenge me or something? Why, they're all coming toward me at once.
Marry, sir. They'll all kill thee at once. This is no tournament, my lord. And if they kill thee, thy armor is their prize.
Shucks, I'd give them the armor if they asked me for it.
Oh, they will kill thee first. And if thou art defeated, I too would be their prize.
You, Sandy? Oh, no, they don't. Where's my lance? Where's Miss Horde?
Oh, to horse, my lord.
Oh, it's no use, Sandy. I can't get up on that horse with all this truck. And besides, there are six of them against one. Now, you hide behind that tree. They're coming.
Toss my pipe and breathe smoke at them.
My pipe? Say, that's an idea. Gosh, I can't see in this cloud of smoke. What's happened?
Oh, they've stopped. Now they ride away.
Yes, I see. Well, I guess we scared them off.
Aye, sir, boss.
Uh-oh, they're stopping. Get back and hide again, Sandy. Maybe they're going to charge again.
Oh, fear not, my lord. The enchantment of thy magic smoke hath made them helpless and powerless.
Oh, look, Sandy, if my magic hath only stunned them, we've got to get away from here before they come riding back.
Riding back?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have no fear of that, my lord. Such craven knights as they will not return, methinks. They would assail a single man on foot, but not a dragon breathing fire.
Then what are they waiting for? Why don't they ride away?
Thou art their victor. They wait to yield themselves to thee.
To yield them? You mean to give themselves up to me?
Verily, they must. But they fear to approach thee to surrender their arms.
Well, then maybe I'd better go to them.
Oh, but wait. Your coming would affright them anew. So I will go and have them yield in the name of Sir Boss, the most mighty of knights and my protector.
That's how I vanquished half a dozen bold knights. Me, a fellow who couldn't even clamber on a horse wearing all that armor.
Well, that was strange enough, but not nearly as strange as what happened when we came to Sandy's castle.
When people have been brought up on ignorance and superstition, they can believe anything.
As we rode along a few days later, Sandy began to get excited.
Methinks, Sir Boss, that we approached the castle.
Well, I haven't had much experience with this rescue business, Sandy. Now, just who is being held prisoner?
Well, there are three princesses, fair sir,
mm-hmm.
and their maids in waiting.
And who is guarding them?
Three monstrous ogres, Sir Boss. Oh, but hold. I see the castle just ahead.
Oh, you see the castle?
Right.
Whoa, Nellie. Well, where, Sandy? I don't see any castle.
Don't see it, but 'tis right there on yon hillside.
Right there?
Well, of a surety. Lo, it looms.
Oh, look, Sandy, what I see isn't a castle. It's nothing but a pigsty.
A pigsty? Does it seem to thee a pigsty?
It sure doth.
That is strange. Mayhap it be enchanted. And yet it hath not changed for me.
Now, just be calm, Sandy. If you say it's a castle, it's a castle. But because of the enchantment, it looks like a pigsty to me.
Oh, hi.
Have you see the princesses or the ogres around anywhere?
Thou seest them not?
Mm-mm.
Well, the princesses are on the castle grounds, and the ogres e'en now are glancing toward us.
It just goes to show you, Sandy. Those princesses look like pigs to me, and the ogres look like swineherds.
But how canst thou fight them if they be enchanted, sir?
Don't you worry, Sandy. Remember, I know a little magic myself. Now, you just stay back here and look the other way, and I'll settle this thing in a jiffy. I'll be back in a minute. Giddy up, Nellie. Well, I bribed the swineherds to lie down and pretend they were dead, paying them a little extra to ask no questions. Then I got a boy to load up the pigs in a cart and drive toward Camelot. I told him he could bring them back after we were gone. After all that, I went back to Sandy and told her to take a look at the scene. Well, she was pleased as punch. She waved to the pigs as their royal coach took them toward safety. And I guess I waved too, but I glanced around to make sure no one was looking. Sandy wanted me to cut off the heads of the dead ogres, but I thought that would be carrying things too far, so I convinced her it would be bad luck if I cut off the ogres' heads. And it sure would have been for those poor swineherds. It all goes to show how a buddy can be brought up to believe anything. Why, I've heard sensible people practically swear they've seen hoop snakes. Now I ask you. After that, I was anxious to get back to my work in Camelot, but we no sooner got started than we met one of my traveling salesmen, Sir Lecote Mailtail, the one that was in the soap line. How's business, Sir Lecote?
Ah, verily, 'tis brisk, Sir Boss. But there is news for ye to hear.
Oh? What's up?
I have come here now from the Valley of Holiness, hoping, perchance, to do business at the Magic Fount where many pilgrims gather.
By George, you're a regular go-getter.
Oh. But the Magic Fount hath ceased to flow. For 9 days now, it hath been dry, and great is the lamentation.
Oh, that is a calamity, right in the middle of the pilgrim season.
First off, they sent for thee, Sir Boss. But sith ye were not found, they summoned thy rival in magic, the great Merlin.
Oh, the great Merlin, is it? How's that old faker making out?
Oh, Merlin hath been there 3 days now, and right bravely doth he work his magic. But not a whiff of moisture hath he started yet, if ye count not the barrel of sweat he sweateth over the dire labors of his task.
Well, I better run on over and have a look at the situation. Meanwhile, I want you to ride to Camelot and give this note to Clarence. Chemical Department, Laboratory Extension, Section G. Send 2 of number 3 and 6 of number 4, together with proper complimentary details, and 2 of my trained assistants. There, that ought to do it. Now ride, brave knight, as fast as you can fly.
That I shall, Sir Boss, forsooth and verily.
Your Highness, I understand you're the head man in charge of this magic fountain.
Aye, and I pray thee get to thy work at once and end this calamity with thy enchantments.
Oh, not so fast, Your Highness. Merlin has the contract, and no other magician can touch that job until he throws it up.
But of a surety, this is an emergency, and his efforts availeth not.
Well, sir, he's a pretty good magician in a small way, and he's doing the best he can. They tell me he's enchanting like a beaver.
Aye, but he raiseth no moisture.
Well, let him keep on enchanting while my assistants and I have a look around. Well, boys, I'm glad you're here. And this bit of magic is going to take a bit of work.
Aye, Sir Boss. We are prepared.
We have brought the tools that thou commanded.
Oh, good. Now, first of all, we're going to lower you down in that well. Unless I miss my guess, some of the wall stones have fallen out, letting the water escape. Now, are you sure no one knows that we're here at the well?
Aye. All are gathered to watch Merlin try to break the spell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, none seemeth curious about the well itself.
All right. Are you ready?
Aye, Sir Boss.
Then we'll lower away. Tell us when to stop. Now, let me see. First, we'll patch up the wall of the well. Then we'll rig up a pipe and hook on the hand pump so we spout that water up in the air. Why, it'll be just like a regular fountain at an amusement park.
Hold, Sir Boss. I have found it.
Good.
Thy suspicions are confirmed, Sir Boss. But why didst thou have us bring the fireworks? How will they help restore the well?
Oh, that's just for window dressing. Now, when I give the signal to pump up the water, we'll set off the fireworks at the same time. Ought to make quite a show. It ain't every day you get a chance to do a miracle, so you ought to make the most of it. Well, everything went according to plan. We patched up the wall of the well. We rigged up the fireworks, rockets, and Roman candles on the roof of a building nearby so we could set them off with an electric battery. I sent out word that I would appear that night and that night only. And you should have seen that crowd. And that night I arrived on the scene and stepped on the platform where Merlin had been working for days. Right away, the crowd grew quiet.
Greetings, Sir Boss, and welcome to thy test.
Evening, Your Highness, and howdy, Brother Merlin. You ready to give up?
Aye. My enchantments availeth not, nor will indeed the spells of any man. I have called upon every name that can prevail.
Is that true, Sir Boss?
Well, I think I've got a trick up my sleeve, Your Highness. I think I know a name or two that Master Merlin may have forgotten.
But, Your Highness, this cannot be true. Neither angels nor demons will venture to break this curse.
Well, I'll have to call on someone else then. Are you ready? I shall call three times. Tippy, Canoe, and Tyler, too.
Behold, stars fall upward. Tippy Canoe and Tyler Too. Behold, great balls of fire dance on the rooftops. Tippy Canoe and Tyler Too. Behold, the water leaps forth, the fountain is freed. The spell is broken.
Yes, sir, you can't beat a snappy slogan. And as for you, John W. Merlin, you better go back to practicing your card tricks. Well, I felt pretty good about the way things worked out with the magic fountain, and I guess I sort of liked the way it made me a hero to Sandy, too. On the way back to Camelot, I found myself trying to explain some of my ideas about government and democracy and equality. When I talked of things like the secret ballot and the jury system, why, they seemed like even stranger magic to her than any she'd ever heard of. But something happened later that I'm sure she understood. One night, we stopped at the castle of a mighty duke, for knights errant took shelter wherever it could be found. When they learned that I was Sir Bors, the right-hand man of King Arthur himself, they really made us welcome. In fact, as a special treat, our host invited us to visit the castle dungeons where he kept his prisoners. I didn't like the idea very much, but after all, we were his guests. So we followed him and one of his servants down and down a winding staircase. We made our way along a clammy stone corridor, the flickering light of a flaring torch casting weird shadows on the walls. Sandy's face was white, and I felt a little skittish myself, but the Duke talked as if he was showing his flower garden.
I vow I ne'er hath seen a more stubborn subject than the one I shall show ye. He hath been on the rack for many hours, yet he confesseth not.
Now, the rack, you mean the torture wheel.
Aye, and he yield not his confession now, he shall be torn asunder.
What has this man done to deserve such punishment?
Oh, he hath been accused of killing a stag in the king's own forest.
Accused? You mean it hasn't been proved?
He was reported to be seen near where the stag was found, yet he confesseth not.
But, your highness, supposing he has nothing to confess?
Oh, as to that, we shall see anon. And I rack him to death and he confess not. It will peradventure show he had indeed naught to confess.
But he'd be dead.
And a pity, too, for he hath been a good farmer. But if I rack him not and he die unconfessed, the fault would be mine. It is the law that if he be a criminal, his land and property is forfeit to his lord, to this estate. As a loyal servant of the king, I must uphold the law. Should he be guilty and not confess, I should be breaking the sacred vows I swore.
But what if he's not guilty and can't confess, yet you rack him to death?
Oh, I shall lose a good servant, more's the pity. But I shall have done my duty as I took my oath. Surely none could deny that.
Oh, no, I suppose not.
Ah, but hold. Here is the chamber door. Let it be opened.
The door swung open. In the smoky glare of torches along the walls, I saw a young man stretched upon the rack. His wrists and ankles were tied to ropes which led over windlasses at either end. There was no color in his face, no expression, only beads of sweat. In the corner, a girl was crouching. I could tell by the way she looked at him, she was his wife. Just as we entered and stood in shocked silence, the executioner gave his machine a turn. That gasp and sob sent a shiver of pain through me. And Sandy touched my arm.
Sir Boss, in spite of thy great powers, I have asked naught of thee till...
I know, Sandy. It shall be as you wish.
Stop! Release this prisoner!
But hold! This cannot be. This is my castle. I speak for the law here.
He forgets, your highness. This is the boss. And ye do not his will. His magic will dissolve this castle like to the fabric of a dream.
Never mind the magic, Sandy. In the name of King Arthur, and by the power invested in me as his minister, I command it.
So be it then, Sir Boss. Let his command be obeyed.
Let me speak to these two prisoners alone, Your Highness. Then I'll tell you what I've decided. Take your servants and go. And you go too, Sandy.
Very well. The curse of broken vows be on thee if justice is not done.
Let me worry about justice, Your Highness.
Come then. We will depart.
Oh, thank you, fair sir. May I?
Yes, you may touch him, girl. Do what you like.
Oh, my darling.
Here, give him a drink of water.
Oh, thank you. From my soul, fair sir. Here, Hugo. Drink.
And now, my friend, tell me your side of the story. I know the other side.
No, I will not speak.
But you must speak, Hugo, to him.
It is some trick to break my will. It changes nothing, Marion.
Now, wait a minute. Have you folks ever heard of me, the boss?
Oh, yes. All know of thee in Arthur's realm.
Well, if you've heard rightly about me, you shouldn't be afraid to talk to me.
Ah, fair lord, do thou persuade him to confess. He suffereth this for me, but I can bear it not. Make him confess and let him die a sweet, swift death. I cannot bear this one.
Be still, Marion. Ye wit not what ye ask. Shall I starve my wife and child to win a gentle death? Thou knowest me better.
You must persuade him, my lord. He will not speak. But if he would, he might have the solace of a blessed, quick death.
Now, let's stop that kind of talk, doggone it. Nobody's gonna die. He's going out of here a free man.
A free man? Oh, sweet sir!
Do ye mean that, my lord, verily?
Oh, yes, of course I do.
Oh, Hugo, thou art saved. Oh. It is the minister of the king who speaks, the servant of Arthur, the king whose word is gold.
I don't get this at all. If you trust me now, why didn't you speak before when I asked for your story?
He had made no promise then, else I had spoken.
Oh, I see. I mean, I guess I do. You thought you had to confess or I'd put you back on the rack. But you didn't have anything to confess.
I, my lord, nothing to confess? How so? It was I indeed that killed the king's deer.
You did?
Aye.
Oh, this is all mixed up.
I begged him to confess, my lord. I begged him on my knees.
But why did you want him to confess? You knew that he would die if he did.
Yes, but a quick death without cruel pain.
I see, but he didn't want a quick death.
He? Why, of a surety, he did.
Well, then, why didn't he confess?
Confess, fair sir? For all my lowly station, I am a man. Should I confess and leave my wife and little one without bread and shelter all their lives?
Leave your wife and... Now, let me get this straight. Yes. Yes, I see it now. If you confessed, you would die a criminal, and your land would be taken by the Duke's estate, leaving your family beggars without a home.
Aye.
If you didn't confess, you'd die in torture, but your family would keep your land.
Even so, my lord. And surely a man would rather die a thousand deaths than have his loved ones tortured by hunger and want.
Oh, Hugo, I would rather we starve than have these suffer so.
Oh, doggone it. You're two of the bravest people I ever met. And the most loyal. Tell you what I want to do. Take the note I'll give you and go to Camelot. Hand it to Sir Clarence, my assistant. And he'll put you to work in one of my factories. Would you like to work for me?
Oh, would I, fair sir? Well, I will be your slave forever.
My slave? Oh, no, you won't, Hugo. You won't be anybody's slave. My factories aren't run by slaves and will never be. Because the most important product we turn out is independent men.
The Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court by Samuel Clemens is one of the world's great novels, brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air.
The World's Greatest Novels, on Tune to Do Yesterday from June 11, 1948 on NBC, with an adaptation of Mark Twain's classic story. It would be about a year later that the movie adaptation was released, starring Bing Crosby, Rhonda Fleming, Cedric Hardwick, and William Bendix, as more of a musical comedy, though it seemed to work with audiences, becoming a hit in theaters. This is an hour of series on Tune to Do Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up next, Adventures by Morse, with episode 2 of 3 of the story A Coffin for the Lady, a syndicated episode from March 25th, 1944.
Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents A Coffin for the Lady, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
The evening dusk was fast settling on Port Lancer, far up on the Canadian coastline, as Captain Friday and his operative, Skip Turner, picked up the trail of Judith Wright. She led them down the main street of the Canadian seaport village and then off into the woods. She finally came to a log cabin just as darkness settled, knocked, and was received inside. Captain Friday and Skip tiptoed to the window. But let Captain Friday tell you what brought them to this out-of-the-world settlement.
My office in San Francisco was approached by a Major Lawrence of a branch of Army Intelligence. I was asked to bring one of my men and do a job for the government. I chose Skip Turner, as he was a good outdoor man and was fast with his fists in a tight place. We were transported by seaplane and put down in an isolated cove off the coast of Canada. There was a fast speedboat waiting for us. With Major Lawrence, we crossed over to a tiny atoll called Marmaduke Island, some 10 miles from the mainland. Major Lawrence hid us in the underbrush near the shore and told us to be ready for action at any moment. Then he went inland. At the end of 3 hours, a man in the uniform of a GI burst into view, carrying a girl in his arms. And in his back was a knife blade. The girl was bound and gagged. The GI lived long enough to gasp, "Get the girl to Port Lancer." And then he died. We grabbed her up just as rifle fire began to pour in on us from behind. We got her on the boat and got her to the mainland where horses had been planted for us. In 6 hours, we were in Port Lancer.
Yeah, Captain, but once in Port Lancer, stuff began to happen.
All right, Skip, you tell it.
Well, we took our horses to the only stable in the dump. What did the old coo to run the stable try to do but knock Captain Friday and me over the head? Well, in a rumpus, Judith, that was the girl's name, Judith Wright tried to give us a slip, and that's when we followed her. We slipped up to the window and peeked in, and there she was laying on the floor. And some big goon was picking her up and putting her in a coffin. I'm telling you the honest truth. There was a coffin there, sitting on two chairs. And this guy in the room picked up the girl and put her in it. And she wasn't dead, either. I saw her face.
And just at that point, a voice said...
If either you gentlemen so much as twitch an eyebrow, I'll blast you to kingdom come.
Captain Friday, did you hear what I did?
Yeah.
Well, are we going to take it?
Put up your hands, Skip. Don't be a fool.
Very excellent advice, Captain Friday.
So our hands are up, so what do we do now?
March over to the front door.
Come on, Skip.
But, Cap, it...
Do I have to tell you twice?
You're the boss.
That's far enough.
You want me to open the door?
Keep your hands right where they are. Abbott!
Didn't hear you.
Keep still.
What is the matter? Oh, who are these men?
Such me. Found them peeking in the window.
What is that?
Yeah, I thought you'd want to interview them.
Yes. Come in, gentlemen.
Sure. Hello. Wolf skins and bear rugs on the floor.
You will please keep your hands up. Close the door, English.
Yeah.
I have them covered. Take away their weapons.
We don't carry guns.
Search them.
It's a pleasure.
If you touch my extra pack of cigarettes,
I'll tell you.
What is your name?
You're talking to me?
I am.
Bart Friday.
This other guy called him Captain.
Okay, Captain Bart Friday. The title's honorary.
Yeah, I see. And this man, what's his name?
My sidekick, Skip Turner.
Well, nothing on either of them, Abbott.
You can put your hands down.
Okay to smoke?
Go ahead. Sit down if you wish.
Thanks, we'll stand.
Suit yourself. Now then, what are you two men doing here?
We're strangers here. We got away from Port Lancer and got a little mixed up.
That's a lie. They trailed a girl here.
You saw them?
I did.
What do you men say to that?
Then you admit you're holding Judith Wright prisoner.
Judith? Who is Judith Wright?
That blonde, blue-eyed girl who came in this cabin less than 15 minutes ago.
Her name is Judith Wright?
That's the name we know her by. What did you do? Invite her in and then slug her behind the ear?
That is rather a strange accusation.
Oh, don't try to be so mealy-mouthed. We got a glimpse in the window. We saw her stretched out on the floor. We saw you pick her up and put her in the coffin.
Coffin?
That's what I said, coffin.
You saw me pick up this Judith Wright girl and put her in the coffin?
You're repeating yourself.
But you can see for yourself, there is no coffin.
That curtain wasn't pulled across the far end of the cabin when we looked in the window.
Are you saying that I have a coffin hidden behind that curtain?
A coffin with a girl in it.
English.
Yeah, I've been...
Pull that curtain aside. These men apparently have hallucinations. Go ahead. Pull it back.
Sure. Why not? There you are.
Hey, Captain.
As you can see for yourself, these are my sleeping quarters.
There was a coffin in here.
My good man.
Don't give me none of that my good man stuff. I saw what I saw.
But you can see for yourself. There is only one entrance to the cabin. One door and one window. You came in the front door. And the window is nailed shut, as you may observe.
There's a closet over there. What's in that?
You may look for yourself.
Thanks.
What's in there, Captain Friday?
Canned goods. Looks like you're planning to hole up for the winter.
Does that satisfy you?
You must have done it with mirrors, or else we were mistaken.
We saw what we saw.
English.
Yeah, I'll be...
Tie them up.
With pleasure. Here, put your hands behind you.
Captain, are we...
Put your hands behind you.
Better do it, Skip.
Oh, the way we get pushed around.
Look, how would you like to be a limp body on the floor? Put your hands behind you, or I'll give you a headache with the butt of my gun. Yeah, that's better.
But I don't have to like... Hey, you don't have to cut my wrists in, too.
Yeah, well, when I tie a man's hands behind him, they stay tight. Yeah, those buckskin thongs don't hold you till you rot up. All right, now, you.
Go ahead.
Oh, nice and tame, huh? Well, that don't mean you're not going to get tied up just as tight as your partner.
You're cutting off the circulation, you know that.
Yeah, it's just a burning shame now, ain't it? Now what, Abbott?
Take them out to the stable and tie their feet and lock them in.
You want them gagged?
Why bother? No one can hear them.
All right. Okay, outside you two. You coming, Ovid?
No, time is getting short. You take care of them.
Sure. I said, come on, you two. Close the door, Ovid. Now down the steps and take the path to the left around the cabin.
Huh? What's that?
Sounds like a wolf.
That ain't what the wolves sound like down in California.
You're thinking of the Hollywood kind. This is the real McCoy.
When you hear a dog howl like that, they say he's sitting on somebody's grave.
Never mind the conversation. Take the path to the right.
Mm. Right through the bushes?
Right through the bushes. All right, hold it.
Hey, there is a building back here. Hidden back here in the brush.
Okay, inside with you now.
Well, it's a barn, all right, but no horses.
Hay on the floor, though.
Okay, both of you lie down on the floor.
Now, just a minute. Why, you lousy. Hitting a man with his hands tied.
When I tell you to do something, I don't want any back talk. Now, lie down on the floor.
Come on, Skip.
Yeah. Okay. All right, turn around your faces and stretch out.
Great stuff. I just love being somebody's prisoner.
Yeah. Put your feet together. Yeah. I'll lace your ankles together with this buckskin thong. Want you boys to be here when we get back.
Why don't you just saw my feet off and be done with it?
Yeah. Now you, feet together.
You know, a person could freeze to death in a place like this overnight, this kind of weather.
It's a thought. Yeah. Now, you two boys, just make yourselves at home. I gotta be gone. If you get cold, you can play Eskimo.
Now, ain't this great?
Listen, Skip. They didn't examine my shoes. I've still got that razor blade tucked in the sole of my shoe.
Hey, I forgot about that.
Squirm around in the hay. If you can get your fingers on it.
Yeah.
No, my left shoe.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. All right, run your fingers along the edge of the sole.
With my hands behind me, tied so tight it... Oh, there, I felt it.
Yeah. Can you pull it out?
And my fingers so numb. I got it.
Attaboy. Now... Squirm around so we're back to back.
Yeah.
Then you can cut through my wristbands.
Yeah.
Okay, how's that?
I'm having a heck of a time hanging on to the razor blade. It's so thin and my hands are so numb.
Hey, hang on to it. If you ever drop it in this hay, we'll never find it.
I think I'm getting it. I'm sawing or something.
It's the buckskin thongs. Keep at it. Hey, you got it. My hands are free. Good boy, Skip. Now, let me take the blade. I'll have you free. Attaboy. My hands feel like I was wearing boxing gloves myself. Yeah, there you are.
Oh, it's swell.
Now, I'll cut our ankles free. Yeah, that's mine. Hold still a minute. Yeah, there you are.
And now let's get out of this place and settle up with a couple of ugly customers.
I slip this blade back in the sole of my shoe. Let's don't go off half-cocked.
About what?
I mean, let's don't go rushing around until we get this thing figured out.
Well, we know that Judith Wright went into the cabin. We saw her.
And we saw a coffin through the window. But neither Judith nor the coffin were in the cabin when we went in.
They had to be.
You got any ideas?
No. You?
How about a trap door in the floor?
Hey, of course.
I think so, too. And I didn't like the way that Ovid Bird said they didn't have much time. Much time for what?
Search me.
Well, I think it concerned Judith right in the coffin.
Well, then, brother, we better get out of here and fast.
Okay. We'll work on the principle that there was a trapdoor and the girl was hidden below in the basement.
Mm. How are we going to get out of here? Break down the door?
Can't make too much noise.
Well, what else? There's no windows and it'd take a coon's age to cut through these logs.
Let's look around a minute.
Hay all over the floor.
Yeah, plenty of hay. But it doesn't look or smell like there's ever been a horse in here.
I wouldn't know. I'm strictly a city boy myself.
Let's walk along this passage. Maybe there's another one. Look out! Skip!
Skippy, all right?
I guess so. What happened?
We fell through a hole in the floor. It was covered with hay.
And where are we now?
I don't know. About 10 feet underground would be my guess.
What has become of the girl in the coffin? Are Captain Friday and Skip in a trap? Or will this underground passage lead toward the solution of events? Is Judith Wright friend or enemy? And who are English and Ovid? But more of this in just a moment.
If we've fallen down an old well...
Who'd dig a well under the floor of a barn? Besides, look. There's a passage leading off to the left.
What do you mean, look? It's so black in this hole in the ground.
I know it, but we can feel our way along.
Yeah, and probably fall in some underground river and we never will be heard of again.
A very sad state of affairs. Nevertheless, take hold of my coattail and keep close to me.
You wouldn't have a flashlight on you.
Never mind, I got a box of matches.
Well, don't you think we ought to make a little fire and see what kind of a hole we got here?
I already know. And keep your voice down.
What's the matter? You afraid?
Keep still. There's a light up ahead.
Daylight?
It was after dark when we fell into this hole, you dope.
Oh, yeah. Well, what you guess it is?
I think this passage is leading us back to the basement under the cabin.
Hey, if that's the way it is...
Come on. Make it easy on the footsteps.
Yeah.
Hold it.
It's a cellar under the cabin, all right.
Yeah. Look, Skip.
The coffin. You were right. They lowered it into the basement when we come in the front door.
Doesn't seem to be anybody on guard.
Well, what are we waiting for? If Judith's laid out in that coffin...
Easy there, Skip. Keep on your tiptoes. Nice cement basement they got here.
Never mind. Captain Friday, they got the lid screwed down on the casket.
You sure?
Yeah, look. Just freshly screwed down.
Here's the screwdriver they used. Handle's still warm.
You think the girl's inside?
We saw them put her in.
But she was alive. Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, what are you doing?
I just thought if she was alive in there... Hey, you hear that?
Listen. Try it again.
Now listen. There it is.
She's alive in there.
Oh, them dirty... Here, give me that screwdriver. Can you imagine anybody cruel enough to bury a beautiful girl alive?
Yeah, especially a beautiful girl.
Yeah, especially a... Okay. What are you doing?
I found another screwdriver. Quick, we get that lid off.
Yeah, I got two of them out.
And come on, easy. Just freshly screwed in. Trouble is, I don't get the idea. Judith Wright gave us the slip to come here of her own free will. Why'd she want to get herself buried alive?
She don't. Nobody does. Somebody's double-crossing her.
There.
They're all out on my side.
I got one more.
Here, let me take it. I was apprenticed out to a carpenter when I was a kid.
Amazing how much light one coal oil lantern gives off. Mm-hmm. Lights up this whole basement. You got it?
Yeah. Now let's slide this lid off.
Okay. Up with it.
Heavy.
Yeah, easy. Okay, that's enough.
Who are you?
Hello, Judith. The Marines have landed.
You? It is you?
Yes, Miss Wright. Who did you expect?
You fools. You unutterable, meddlesome fools.
Hey, now.
Here, let me help you out of that casket.
You keep your hands off me. You keep away from me.
You mean you like it in there?
They said you were prisoners. How did you escape?
Well, we're like that. Houdini could do it. Skip Turner and Cap Friday can do it.
Oh, this is rather ridiculous. Look. Do you mean to say you refuse to get up out of that coffin?
All I tell you is go away.
We're supposed to be protecting you.
I do not wish protecting.
You mean you just want us to go away and let them bury you alive in peace, is that it?
Bury me alive? Is that what you said? Bury me alive?
Well, that's usually what to do with folks that put in caskets, ain't it? Bury them.
I never heard such crazy talk in my life.
What's your idea of what they're going to do with you, Miss Wright?
That I do not wish to talk about.
But you don't expect to be stowed away in the ground.
Stop talking about things like that. Oh.
Huh? What's the matter?
If either of you men move...
Uh-oh, here we go again, our friend Abid.
Be quiet. If either man moves, he will be shot in the back.
How did you guys sneak in here?
I said be quiet. Mr. English, use that blackjack.
With pleasure.
Hey, hitting a man behind the ear with his hands up.
Oh!
Good.
That was terrible. terrible.
Exactly what they deserve. Now then, Mr. English, tie these men up this time so they will stay tied.
All I can do is my best.
And make it quickly. And then screw the lid back on this casket, and we will get the girl and coffin away from here.
Oh, my head. Skip. Skip, wake up. Skip, wake up. Come on. He didn't hit you that hard.
Oh, what fell on me?
They sapped us with a blackjack.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, what a head I got.
And more than that, we're cinched up again with buckskin thongs.
Oh, just let me lay here and die.
Come on. You gotta use that safety razor blade again. You think you can get it out of the sole of my shoe?
Where are we?
Basement of the cabin.
Laying on this cold cement floor ain't gonna help my arthritis. Hey, is the casket gone?
And the girl.
Well, she asked for it. What kind of a dame would want a hole up in a casket anyway?
Come on, come on. Squirm around on the floor and try to get the razor blade. How's that?
I don't think... Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, good boy.
We ain't repeating ourselves by any chance.
Never mind that. It's a good gag as long as it works. Now, slide around here so we're back to back and saw my bonds loose again.
Why do the dirty villains always have to tie your hands behind you?
That's what makes them villains. Can you reach me?
I'm cutting on something.
Oh, that's my wrist, you dumb halfwit.
Well, my fingers are so numb.
That's it. Now you got the bonds.
Hey, look, Captain, the next time anybody wants to tie us up, let's put up a fight.
Yeah, according to how many guns they got pointed at my spine. Yeah, that's it. Okay, now give it to me and I'll cut you free.
Oh, it won't be no use. I'm going to lay right here and die anyhow.
There. Now your ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he sure cinched up on these thongs.
Man.
Here you are. All right, get up and move around while I cut me free.
I couldn't move.
Get up, Skip. Get that circulation started. You'll feel better. Yeah. Okay, just tuck the blade back in the sole of my shoe. There we are. Now, come on. Up on your feet.
I feel like I'm walking around on the stumps of my ankles.
Oh, same here. Oh, it'll be all right. Come on, move around.
Oh, doggone torture chamber.
Yeah. Hey, look there. Steps going up to the trap door on the floor above.
Is that where they come from when they nailed us?
Yeah. Let's try it.
The trap door's probably locked.
Well, all we can do is try.
Still ain't got full control over my feet.
Yeah, circulation's beginning to take hold. Oh, just a minute.
Hey, the trap door's unfastened.
Yeah, it seems to be. Up we go. There it is. Okay, come on up.
Shall I close the trap door again?
Yeah, might as well.
Now what?
Huh?
Well, now that we're up here, what?
I'm looking for something that'll give us a clue.
About the coffin?
Where they're taking a coffin with a live girl inside it.
Well, it's got to be someplace a girl wants to go, on account of she's cooperating with the kidnappers like nobody's business.
Yeah. He's putting a lot of trust in friend Ovid.
I wouldn't trust that East Indian with a plume-tailed polecat.
Huh?
What you got there?
Never mind. Come on.
You mean outside?
I mean down at the waterfront. Come on.
What's down at the waterfront?
That's where they've taken the girl.
You mean they're taking her down and dumping her in the harbor?
Don't be so dumb. There's a steamship in the harbor. We heard the whistles earlier tonight.
Stowaway. That's what this is all about. She's going aboard in a coffin as a stowaway.
Well, one idea has penetrated that thick skull anyway.
Well?
Come on, if we cut through this underbrush, we'll save a little time.
Yeah, and get all our clothes torn off to boot.
There now. You can see the lights of the harbor through the trees.
Running through leaves up to my knees.
We'll be through them in a minute.
I feel like I was trying to run on inner spring mattresses.
Yeah. There we are. Caswell, we hit the main street. Now, just another block and a half to the waterfront.
Wonder we ain't broke our necks in the dark.
Hey, listen.
That ship's more than a block and a half away.
She's pulled out into the harbor. Come on.
You mean the boat's gone with our babe in the coffin?
Well, what did it sound like to you?
Well, maybe she missed the boat, too.
Oh, you're a great help.
Hey, there's a group of people down on the wharf. They got the floodlights on.
I'm more interested in that searchlight out in the bay. That's our ship pulling out.
Hey, let's ask somebody if the casket went aboard, huh? Hey, you, did they take... Well, if it ain't Mr. English.
How did you two meet?
Never mind about that. Did that casket go aboard?
Now, look, Joe.
Answer Captain Friday when it talks to you.
Yeah, well, supposing it did.
Was the girl in it?
Careful, Skip, the crowd's drifting over this way.
Well, we got what we want out of this bird. Now for a little revenge.
Skip! Skip, I wanted him conscious.
Well, you should have talked faster then.
Here, what's going on?
Major Lawrence!
Captain Friday, Turner, what are you two doing here?
We thought we left you dead on Marmaduke Island.
Never mind that. Why are you here?
Did you see a coffin put on that ship out there?
Coffin? Yes, a dead Chinese being returned.
Dead Chinese, my eye. That was Judith Wright in that coffin.
What? The girl we...
Yes. And if we don't stop that ship, she's headed right straight for the Bay of Bengal slave market.
Adventures by Morse on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 2 of 3 of A Coffin for the Lady from March 25th, 1944. And that concludes this hour of series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next week at the same time for the conclusion of these two great tales. And until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.